Hello there, friends, and welcome to episode 187 of Self Kind with me, Erica Webb. I did not show up for a podcast episode last week, and I think it might be the first time in 3 years, but we are diving in today, and it's actually going to offer a really good segue into what we're talking about, which is around this idea of goal setting, planning, dreaming into what it is you'd like for your self-care practices in 2023. So we're going to dive into that. Hi, and welcome to Self Kind with me, Erica Webb. This is a podcast about what it means to be, live, and move through a lens of self-kindness. We'll look at the ways self-kindness can underpin our practices in movement, mindfulness, and mindset to support us to be and do the things we so desire in the world. I'm thrilled you're here. Let's get into the show. So as I mentioned, I did not show up for a podcast episode last week. And one of the reasons for that is because, without a doubt, deciding to film the podcast just creates so many more ways to procrastinate doing it. Recording the podcast is one of my absolute favorite things to do. And yet knowing that I need to set up a camera and do all of that sort of stuff definitely makes it more difficult to show up for as easily as it was before. So last week, I didn't end up doing a podcast episode, which, as I said, is probably the first time in about 3 years that I've not done it. But it was one of those things where it was like, this is suddenly feeling punishing, trying to get this done. And even I was going to do it late, and then it was like, you know what, this ship has sailed. Let's just focus on next week. And this is a really good segue for what we're going to talk about, because as this episode is coming out, we're, you know, days away, moments away from the turning of the year. We're going from 2022 to 2023, and maybe you're thinking about goal setting. Maybe you're thinking just about like some tweaks or changes that you want to make in the new year. And so I wanted to offer some ideas around things that you might consider, things that might feel supportive as you think about those ideas, dreams, plans for the new year. And the segue, I suppose, from this whole idea of like, I didn't record a podcast last week, is that we want to focus always on sustainability and consistency over perfection. So this episode still felt really hard for me to like carve out the space and time. If you're in the same hemisphere as I am, you know that if you've got kids, they're on holidays at the moment. And just carving out time and space to do stuff like this when there's kids at home is a completely different activity than when, you know, they're not. And so there was still some difficulty showing up for this, but I knew that my commitment is to kind of like not fall into a place of being like, oh, well, I didn't do it last week. Nobody's going to notice. I just won't do it this week either. Just because I missed it last week doesn't mean that I'm not consistent, right? How is it possible that one blip in the road over a, you know, 3 year period could mean that I've suddenly lost the ability to show up with consistency? That's nonsense, right? It doesn't make sense. And just the same as for all of us, looking at our self-care practices and the ways that we show up for ourselves through movement and exercise and, you know, all of the things that we do to care for ourselves, we have to be realistic in our expectations of like what consistency looks like. It doesn't look like never missing a day. It doesn't look like showing up at 100% capacity all the time, because we are humans and that is not how humans operate. So I've got five little tips, or I mean, they're not really tips, they're just ideas that I want to share with you that hopefully will get you thinking about what you want for 2023 with a little bit more space for your humanity. Because I think sometimes where we can really get tripped up with thinking about what we want and like our goals and how we're going to care for ourselves is we somehow start to believe that we are superhuman, that we will suddenly have got it figured out. And all those things that make us not consistent, or all those things that make it hard for us to show up, or all those things that kind of got in the way last year are not going to show up this year because suddenly we're perfect, right? And that's just not how it is. We need to make more space for our humanity. We need to be able to meet that with more compassion. And that is actually how we're going to move towards the things that we want, not through imagining this perfect version of ourselves that never fails. Yeah. So the first tip is something that we've kind of just talked about, but I want to go a little deeper into it, which is be realistic and focus on what's sustainable. There is no shortage of unsustainable messaging on January 1st, right? The fasting, the 30-day shreds, all of this stuff that asks for maximum effort for a short period of time and just simply isn't sustainable, but promises really big results, right? Like finally lose that last 5 kilos, finally, usually it's around weight, let's be honest. And it's just not sustainable. I mean, even as I think about it, it just sounds exhausting to me. And so I really invite you to recognize that when the clock strikes midnight on January 1, that you are not now going to somehow have left all of those things that make you human behind. No matter how hard you will that, right? That's just not how it works. And so when we subscribe to those sort of all or nothing big actions, we're really setting ourselves up for a mess of guilt and shame down the track because we know it's not sustainable. And so be honest with yourself right from the get-go. Is this something that I can maintain? And yes, for sure, not everything that we do is maintained, right? Like we might take a class that goes for just 6 weeks and then we're not interested anymore, and that's fine. But when it comes to things like our movement practice and self-care, are we engaging in things that feel sustainable, that if somebody said you have to start right now, you'd actually be able to take an action now? You'd be able to take an action in that direction today, and then you'd be able to do it again tomorrow, and then you'd be able to do it the next day. And the thought of doing it every day wasn't completely overwhelming. It was like, yeah, I can manage that because I've made my focus on sustainability rather than, you know, these big flash in a pan kind of ideas. And I think that's a really good way to think about it. You know, what could I do now? Like in that direction of what it is that I want. I have an example of this actually. One of the things that I want to do more of in 2023 is write. My background is in writing. I actually have a master's degree in writing randomly, and I love writing, but I haven't done a lot of it other than captions and show notes and things like that. And so I want to reignite my blog. And so as I was thinking about this, I actually had just listened to another podcast, The Confidence Project by Christina Montalvo, which I love. And she was talking about this idea of like, if you can't get started today with your goals, then they're too big, right? Like if there's not a step that you can take today, then it's too big. And I thought about that and I thought, okay, I'm going to start on that blog post. It's not the new year. This was last week. It's not the new year. It's not January 1st yet. Why would I wait if there's something that I can do today to move me in the direction of something that I know that I want? That January 1st date, I mean, I actually quite like the energy of a new year, but it's still very arbitrary. You know, how many times do you wake up on January 1st and go, well, it's just like yesterday, right? Like it's just another day on the calendar and it happens to have a new year on the end. And so what can you do today to move you in that direction? So when we think about self-care and movement, can you go for a little walk today? Could you put 5 minutes of yoga on video and follow along? Could you roll your mat out and just kind of roll around? Could you sit for 5 mindful minutes? What is something that you can do that is easy, right? And moves you in that direction. And so things that are sustainable are easier, right? Doesn't mean that it's easy, but easier. They're simpler than those big kind of grand ideas. And they might be moving you in the direction of a grand vision. Absolutely. But the steps are really, really simple and really easily done. So you might even have a goal of I'm going to do yoga 3 times a week. And that might seem really doable. But then you might have to have some other like sub goal to that. That's like, okay, ideally I want to do an hour 3 times a week. But if I can only show up for 5 minutes, I'm still going to call that a success because it is, right? It is. And so we have to let go of those arbitrary, it only counts if it's 30 minutes, it only counts if it's an hour, it only counts if I actually show up, you know, 85 million times as I promised myself. We have to be so realistic about what can actually fit in our life and what can fit in our current reality, because that changes as we move through our days and as we move through our life. The second tip is to remember that your time is now. Sounds a little bit like more cliched than I like it to, but your time is now, in the sense that I cannot count the number of people who say to me, oh, I really want to start movement sessions with you, or I really want to start this, or I really want to start doing X, Y, Z, but I just need to wait for life to get a little bit less hectic, or I just need the kids to be a little bit older, or I just need to wait for this busy period to be finished at work. And I get that, but this is where we're going to loop back around to point number one. Make it simpler then. You're making your goals too big. You're making your actions too big if it means you have to wait for life to be simplified before you can do anything for yourself. Because, spoiler alert, life always feels complicated. Well, there's like always complicating factors, right? So if we are constantly just like putting it off for next time or like later, that just maybe never comes. And then we're left feeling like we've been kind of left on the bottom of the pile, which we have because we've put ourselves there, and we've still not taken any action in the direction of what we wanted. I've been thinking about this a lot in the last year. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, that my mum has a form of dementia called frontotemporal dementia, and it's terribly sad. And one of the things that it's really made me think about is how unguaranteed our time is, right? And without being, you know, too sort of deep into that, it's very much made me realize, like, I get to choose to live today, right? I get to choose to do the things that bring me joy, that fill my cup today, because like tomorrow isn't guaranteed and the quality of tomorrow isn't guaranteed. My mum was still working up until the time that she was kind of like, she was working, and then it became clear that, you know, she was unwell and she stopped. So she didn't get a retirement. She didn't get that thing that we sort of are all maybe subconsciously or even consciously working towards, where it's like, I'm going to go and do all those things, right? Finally going to get that time to care for myself. Finally going to get that time to do the things that bring me joy. And, you know, that time is gone because it wasn't, it's no longer available. And so really recognizing that when we say things like that, when we're like, well, I have to wait for things to be easier, it really is a way of demonstrating that we still are not feeling worthy of taking time for ourselves. It really comes down to that. It really comes down to, I don't feel worthy of this while other people are in need. Or I don't feel worthy of this while there is other stuff to be done. And so that is where we really have to readjust our expectations of like, what is enough? Because if 5 minutes of something could be enough, you could do it. But we also have to be working on that feeling of like, I'm worth this time, right? And we do that in part by showing up for it, because we start to prove to ourselves that, hey, I must be worth it because I'm showing up for it every day. And we can work through that, obviously, with a trusted therapist as well. So that's point two. Point number three is that remember that you're never failing, even when you feel like you're failing because you didn't show up for that thing that you promised yourself. You're still not failing, right? We really miss an opportunity when all we see is, oh, well, I screwed up. Oh, I stuffed that up because I didn't show up. I'm so lazy. I never get anything right. And if you listen closely enough, there's probably some dialogue like that happens when we don't show up for things. And that is a very quick road to dropping the habit altogether before you've even built it, right? So if, like last week when I didn't film this podcast, if I had said, oh, well, I'm obviously just a terrible podcaster, I'm going to throw in the towel, it doesn't really make any sense. And it sort of I mean, objectively, from the outside in, literally makes no sense. But it's what we do to ourselves all the time, because we assume that our inability to show up for things 100% of the time with 100% capacity is a problem and is reflective of our inability to be like good humans. But actually, it's just reflective of our humanness. It's reflective of the fact that we are not robots and we are variable in the way that we show up from day to day. And so, you know, we can use those opportunities when we don't show up to actually learn something about ourselves, learn something about what we need moving forward into tomorrow. Is it that, oh, I didn't prioritize that until it was genuinely too late in the day and then I really needed to prioritize sleep? So what could I do tomorrow? Could I do my 5 minutes of movement first? Could I literally put it in my calendar so that I get a reminder? Could I ask my partner, child, best friend, neighbor to do it with me to make me feel more accountable? We can learn from that. And or do I need to make it simpler? Have I actually made this so complicated that there's no way that I could show up for it tomorrow? And so what can I do to make it simpler? What can I do to make it feel more available to me in what, you know, whatever that thing may be? And so using those opportunities that we might have historically labeled as failures and using them to reflect on what is it that I'm missing in terms of what it is that I need to be supported in my efforts to pursue this practice. Because really we're aiming for something that we sustain for life. The details might change, right? The nitty-gritty of like what, where, how, with who, etc. might change. But we are not only deciding to care for ourselves and look after our body and form a relationship with ourselves that feels like home for the next 3 weeks. I mean, you can, but we're going to just find ourselves back in a cycle. We're intending to form that relationship with ourselves and care for ourselves, like literally till the end, right? And so why focus on the failure through that lens of failing instead of like looking, okay, well, what is it that I need to make this easier for myself? You're allowed to actually make it easier. I know that's not what we've been messaged, but you are allowed to make it easier. You do not have to suffer through this process of learning to care for yourself. There might be suffering involved, perhaps, as you undo stories and you kind of notice yourself through a new lens. There might be discomfort, but you don't need to, you know, literally suffer your way through. All right, number four is to focus on you and what you enjoy, desire, and want to show up for. Because again, January 1st, I guarantee you, and actually it doesn't even have to be January 1st, it can be any day of the week, any day of the year, there will be no shortage of people telling you what exactly you should do. And that's fine because we love to get some options, right? But you don't have to do the same thing that everybody else is doing. If it doesn't bring you joy, pleasure, you don't like the outcome, you don't like the process, it doesn't have to be that thing, right? So, I often use the example of running. I don't really like it. I kind of would like to give it another shot, but it's not something that I particularly like, but I love walking and I could walk for, you know, hours chatting with a friend, or listening to a podcast or just listening to the sounds of nature. So would I be better off just focusing on the thing that I love, which is walking, or would I be better off beating myself up because I want, you know, I should run and I'm not doing it? Obviously, we want to focus on the thing that we love, the thing that brings us joy. Same with, you know, is it the bath? Maybe not. Maybe it's, you know, spending 5 minutes in running water. Maybe it's reading fiction. Maybe it's doing that yoga class. You know, when it comes to movement, what is the thing that brings you pleasure? What is the thing that brings you joy? And maybe not all the time, right? Because sometimes movement can be quite challenging and we might be like, oh, I'm not loving this right now. But what is the overall sense of like, I like to show up for this activity? Is it dancing? Is it yoga? Is it Pilates? Is it weight training? What is it that makes you feel that sense of pleasure and joy? Because you don't have to subscribe to somebody else's version if it doesn't fit you. You know, it's like going into somebody else's wardrobe and feeling like you have to somehow make all of their clothing fit your body and your style and your tastes. No, go and get your own wardrobe, like make your own choices. And so really give yourself permission to do that. I think that it can get confusing because there are some things, I suppose, that are just simply health promoting. You know, we know that we need to drink enough water. We know that sleep is really vital. We know that, yes, we have to move our bodies in some way to maintain a level of physical well-being. So, yes, there are health promoting things that are important, but it still doesn't mean that there isn't room to figure out how they can look, you know, how that movement practice can look. Even something as simple as like, I bought myself a new water bottle and I always like drinking water. I actually quite enjoy, I like the taste. But it's a lot easier for me to get more water in because I like picking up my nice bottle and drinking out of it. So like, give yourself permission to find ways to make these activities more joyful. That doesn't have to look like everybody else's. Yeah. All right. Last one. Number five is let your why around what you're trying to do be a self-kind one, not a should. And actually thinking about this through the lens of those health promoting behaviors is probably a really good one, because we know that we need to drink enough water. Otherwise, you know, things can't function. We could look at that through two different lenses. We could be like, well, I should drink more water, and we can make ourselves feel really guilty about it, right? Oh, I only had 3 glasses today. I'm the worst. I never drink enough water, blah, 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 blah. We could go down that shame guilt spiral if we wanted to, or we could look at the goal of drinking enough water through a self-kind lens. How does it make me feel when I drink enough water? I want to be able to go to the bathroom with more ease. I want to feel more clarity. I want to sleep better. I want to, you know, feel less tight and tense in my body. And drinking enough water helps me to feel that way. I want to feel looked after. I want to feel nurtured. I want to feel well. That's a self-kind lens, right? Where it's not about simply having this thing that we have to do because we should. And more reflecting on and focusing on what it supports us to feel, do, be, achieve, right? Achieve is, maybe I didn't want to use that word. I don't know. Anyway, achieve. I think that actually works there because, you know, we can achieve different things when we're well hydrated than when we're not. So you can sort of see how we can use that shift of lens to really make a difference to how something, the same thing, the same action feels. Same with movement. We can make it this big thing of like, oh, I should do blah, 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 and focus our time on like the moral kind of high ground of being, you know, moving our body. Or we can focus on how it makes us feel and what it allows us to do and how it allows us to be in our lives and in the world. Because that is where we then recognize that these things are for us. When we look at it through a should lens, I'm not sure who we're trying to please with that behavior. But like, focus on pleasing yourself. Focus on allowing yourself to meet yourself and your needs and your desire for joy and pleasure, and start there, right? And let your why be a self-kind one, not one focused on shoulds. So that is my 5 tips. Shall we go through them as a little recap, just the top line? I think we shall. So number one was be realistic and focus on sustainability, which most of the time is going to be making things simpler, making them smaller. What could you actually do today, right? Number two was to remember that your time is now. Don't wait until the kids are grown up or life feels simpler, because it maybe doesn't happen exactly like that. What can you do today? What can you do now that is a vote in the favor of your self-care and self-kindness towards yourself? Number three was remember that you're never failing, even when, you know, the old version of how we look at these things would tell you that you were. What can you take from that, you know, supposed failure to take into tomorrow to help you do that thing with more ease and more compassion towards yourself? Number four was to focus on what you enjoy, desire, and want to show up for, not what, you know, Joanne down the street decides is perfect for you. And number five was let your why be a kind one, not a should. I hope that's helpful. I would love to hear from you. As always, you, if you're watching on YouTube, you can comment. If you are listening to this on the podcast, come and find me over on Instagram. You'll find me at @ErikaWebb_selfkind. And I wanted to invite you to join me inside the Self-Kind Hub. I don't tend to have a real strong desire to promote that in January, because I don't want to be part of the noise of like this new year, new you kind of vibe. But I think if you're listening and you're watching, then you know that that is not something that I subscribe to anyway. And so if you are looking to move into the new year with support around movement, you know, reach out and we can have a chat about whether it's a good fit for you. And you can find more information via the link in the show notes. My battery on my computer has just told me it's about to die, so it's time to wrap it up. I will look forward to seeing you next week. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Self-Kind. If you loved it, why not share it? And while you're there, take the time to subscribe, rate, and review the show. I'd love you to come hang out with me more too. You'll find me over on Instagram at @ErikaWebb_selfkind. And you can sign up for my e-newsletter by heading to my website, erikawebb.com.au. While you're there, you can also read up more about the Self-Kind Hub and other ways of working with me. Until next time, keep being kind to yourself. Bye.